listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Tim, here with my good friend Amanda, and we're highlighting yet another one of North America's top site decision influencers. Amanda, you had a great conversation. Tell us all about it.
I did. Thanks, Tim. I had the opportunity to speak with Mike Bennett from Jones Lang LaSalle. He's a vice president for that organization, and he's got a lot of great experience in the economic development industry. And particularly, he's got a lot of international experience that you'll get to hear a little bit about during the conversation. He gives great insight for those of you in the economic development field who are wanting to know about how to be better prepared for when that big project comes your way. He's got great examples, very specific ideas that I'm excited for you to hear. So without further ado, let's just go right to the source and hear from Mike Bennett. Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us today on North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So our favorite question to open all of these conversations with to get to know you better is, what are three things that everyone should know about you?
A lot of people are surprised when they find out I didn't live in this country until I moved here for college. I think probably because I don't have any discernible accent. I'm originally from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and grew up throughout South America, but mainly in Asia and Philippines and Singapore. So a lot of people kind of scratch their head and wonder, where is home? So for me, Chicago, I've been here 10 years. I love it here despite the winters. But other than that, I'm a big rugby fan, grew up around it, and try my best to get down to New Zealand or Australia at least once a year just to reconnect and go to some matches.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you've got some incredible experience, especially on the international side that we can hopefully cover today. Before we get there, though, how did you get involved in site selection? What brought you to where you are today?
Well, you know, there's probably a couple people out there that have a similar story, but not many. I mean, I actually majored in this in college at the University of Arizona in Tucson. I didn't know it at the time. I was taking courses like the American City and population geography and GIS courses, mainly just out of interest, and found myself kind of breezing through them, and the professor pulled me aside and said, you know, there's actually a major for this. And next thing you know, I'm a regional development major. So there are a few out there in the economic development world, Steve Vierk, namely in New Mexico, who went through the same program, but it's sort of a rare case. Now, one of the best parts about it is they bring in economic developers to help you see what you can do with this degree. So I ended up relocating up to Phoenix after graduation and spent 4 years in local economic development in the Metro Phoenix area, which honestly, I think every site selector should have some experience in economic development and vice versa, by the way. I think it really helps inform that relationship.
Absolutely. Can you tell us, with all the experience that you've had, what's maybe one inside secret that you tend to lean on personally when you're assessing communities for a project?
Well, if it's a secret, you know, I can't tell you, but, you know, one thing that I tell communities pretty openly before even we introduce them to the client is, you know, we always try and evaluate their business retention and expansion program. And some people have hard lines between attraction and retention and expansion. Some people build it all together. But however we can analyze and look at what are they doing to help companies grow who are already there. In my experience, the places with those strong efforts, whether it's a formal program or not, almost always end up being the best places for new business attraction.
Yeah, absolutely. If you take care of what you already have, I'm sure you have a tendency to take better care of new projects as well. I think that's great advice. What do you think are the key issues for your clients or companies that you're working with today that seem to be coming up over and over again? And what do you think economic developers and communities can do about it?
Well, you know, on the headquarters side, my partner Meredith O'Connor and I have been fortunate enough to work on a couple large headquarters recently. And it seems as if, you know, there are a lot of companies, whether it's their headquarters function or not, that, you know, they weathered 2008, 2009 and the ensuing years, and they're really looking to reestablish themselves for the next 15, 20, 30 years. And in some cases, that means reevaluating where they're located, sort of why are we here and what are we doing here? You know, so that key issue is sort of trying to reset themselves and put themselves in the best competitive position, whether that's in terms of labor, overall business costs, geographic location. There's a lot of that talk and analysis going on, and we've seen some of those materialize into some pretty significant projects over the last few years. In terms of, you know, what a community can do, you know, I think be as ready as you can to move quickly. I think, unfortunately, the fuse on these projects from the time it hits the economic development person's desk to the time there's a planned announcement is getting shorter and shorter. So a lot of communities have responded by almost going through mock projects to see who do we pull in, how do we service this client if we were fortunate enough to get that call.
Yeah, that's good insight. In terms of being prepared or being ready, what are some of the things that communities maybe have done that are grabbing your attention? Or what type of marketing strategies are you seeing that are really kind of the most effective today?
You know, the second part first, I think as far as marketing goes, I mean, I don't think there's any way a community can spend money more effectively than put people on a plane and come and hit the road, come visit and spend time with consultants, help us understand what you have and what your ideal fit would be, so that by the time we're in front of you with an active client, we have a mutual understanding of, you know, what can work and more importantly, what can't, so that we're really trying to eliminate the time spent trying to figure that out with a live active project. You know, I think no one's really doing this really well, but if possible, looking at active sites, again, focusing on large office or headquarter projects. If you have a piece of land that you think would be a great site for a headquarters project, start working with the local community to understand where would the curb cuts be, how would there be ingress and egress, how would a building potentially be laid out, who would be responsible for clearing the land, how much would that cost, all the questions that you're inevitably going to be asked, to try and answer those for yourself before anyone comes to you and asks them.
Right. It really is about that proactive preparation, like you've mentioned. I'm curious, with all of your international experience that you've mentioned, has that changed kind of the lens of how you look at doing projects here in North America? Or have you seen things internationally that you think, whoa, how come this isn't happening back home? What does that look like?
You know, my experience internationally in terms of projects has been really focused on pharmaceutical and bio. So, and that's sort of a different universe altogether. I'd say for your more traditional project, more than anything, some of the things I've noticed both growing up overseas and spending a lot of time there is when plans are put forward in developing countries, nothing gets in their way. I mean, it's very meticulous and planned and organized, and because they have to be. They're dealing in a lot of cases where you don't have the strong economic development that you do here in the U.S. So given the tools that we do have in the U.S., I think there's really no reason why we can't be even more proactive about development and being as prepared as possible to shorten that timeline for clients.
Yeah, that's great perspective. Thank you for sharing that with us. This is kind of more about you personally. What is one leadership lesson that you carry with you in terms of your work or maybe your family life that you would hope to pass on to others listening today?
You know, I think it's pretty simple. It boils down to respecting your teammates, your clients, your partners, which, you know, in my mind, we consider economic development people our clients just as much as our actual clients. You know, I think being honest with them, open, available, almost treat them as if they were a member of your family. And a lot of times, I mean, the economic development and site selection world is very small. And over time, I've been in it now 15 years, you see people come and go and recycle. And I would say that the biggest thing is build those relationships because we're a relationship business. Although it feels transactional at times, it really isn't. It is a relationship-based world that we're dealing in.
And that kind of goes back to that marketing strategy that you mentioned earlier in terms of getting on a plane and actually getting to know people. So the conversation has come full circle. Another question, since you're one of our top site consultants, that we'd love to know is, how do you define success?
You know, I think one of the biggest compliments I've received, and we're in a world where by the time the world finds out about your project, you're on to the next one or two or three. So you don't really stop and linger about successes. I will say, you know, we've been fortunate enough in 2014 to lead the site selection for the Toyota North America headquarters, as well as Mercedes-Benz recently announced that they're relocating to Atlanta. And I think with both of those projects, the thing that came out of it the most is just the level of partnership that we were able to forge with the local and state economic development people. When you're calling people over Thanksgiving and Christmas, and while they're at their kids' soccer practice, you know, you have to have some level of honesty and we're all in it together kind of attitude. And I think at the end of the project, both of those projects, we've had taken what I thought were good relationships, both in Atlanta and the Metro Dallas area, and taken them to the next level, which the next project and hopefully many more we do with them, it just builds that rapport and helps us both us be better and also the communities and state.
Absolutely. This is going to be the last question I ask you today. If you could tell a room full of economic developers one thing, what would it be?
One thing. You know, in our view and our mantra here is wins bring more wins. No matter how big or small the project is. I mean, I know I've talked a lot about the large headquarters that get a lot of the headlines, but, you know, I think we're just as proud and excited about the 50-person box manufacturer that we help in suburban Chicago, you know, family-owned business and that community in the metro Chicago area. That project may not get headlines, but, you know, that's 50 more jobs and new investment, and it just steamrolls and things grow on that. So from a community and state economic development perspective, I would say, you know, there's really no project too small. If you approach the 10 or 20 or 30 person project the same way as you do as a major manufacturer or corporate headquarters, you'll be doing great.
Great, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise, your experience, your insights with us and with everyone listening today. And most importantly, congratulations again on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.